Leviticus 25, verse number 10, says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and I would like to take just a moment to invite you, if you are in the listening area or maybe visiting here in the high country, we'd love for you to stop by and visit with us if you're looking for a church home. And we'd be sure to try to do all we could to make you feel welcome and feel at home. And Noah is not with us today. He's got delayed. So he's usually here running the board and helping us out. So we miss him when he's not able to be here. But he always takes a moment and welcomes all the listeners on the different radio stations right here on WATA in Boone, North Carolina. And then our listeners on our Saturday broadcast at 9 a.m. on WZAP out of the Tri-Cities, Bristol, Virginia area. And then also our listeners on Saturday on 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. And we count it a great privilege to be on the air in the state of South Dakota. And we appreciate the opportunity as well. Now, for the past several weeks, we've been looking at a little bit of a different subject here on the Blessings of Liberty. And we've been talking about your liberty, your health, and the Bible. And I'm using this opportunity to also prepare for what I want to begin to look at next on the Blessings of Liberty. And so I'm excited about what I've got in store down the road, and looking forward to that. But this is a subject that interests me so much. And the Bible has a great deal to say about your health. And we started out saying this, that if you lose your health, you have in part lost your liberty. We're not talking about a communist regime takeover or something like that, but you lose your health and you lose your freedom to go as you please and do as you please and go where you want to, when you want to, and do what you want to do. And we spend a lot of time talking about external things, and there's a lot of things that are going on in the world. But this is one thing that you have a little bit of control over, in the area that you can be a good steward of your health, and you can do everything you can to take care of it. The Bible teaches that we reap what we sow, and we've heard the old saying many, many times, you are what you eat. And so the way we treat our bodies definitely has repercussions, either for the good or for the bad. The Bible has a great deal to say about your health, about diet, exercise, all of these things. We started out in the book of Genesis, and we were talking about different things we find there that are actually a foundation for good health. We have already talked about air. You need clean, pure air to breathe. You cannot last without air. And this is the first act of God upon man, was to breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and man breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." That breath, that's what made man come to life. He looked like a man in every aspect, but he was not breathing, and he was not moving, talking, all of these things, until the Lord breathed into his nostrils. We talked about how important the air that we breathe is. Well, that just makes common sense, but we don't think about it a lot of times. Then last week, we spent the whole time talking about water, how your body needs water. Your body is in large part made up of water, and how that you need that. Many times we replace and we put things into our body that are actually very bad for our health. Soft drinks, sugary drinks, these will kill your immune system. They'll shut your kidneys down. I had a friend one time, he was having all kinds of problems with his kidneys, And he went to the doctor, and the doctor figured out, he said, you know, you drinking soft drinks, and my friend was drinking a lot of soft drinks during the day. And he said, cut out the soft drinks. And he did. Wouldn't you know what happened? His problem went away. We need water. And we find that also in Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. These verses are all right here together. Today, we are going to look at the subject of food. And we're going to spend at least a couple of weeks talking about food, our diet, what we eat, what we put into our bodies, and what the Bible has to say. Now, there are several different diets in the Bible. Or at different times, we learn, I'll put it like this, what people were eating. And it changed as time has gone on. We're going to begin to look at that today and think about some of these things and how they apply to us. But the first time the word food is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This is the first time the word food is mentioned in the Bible. And what we want to look at first of all, we're going to begin right here in the book of Genesis, and then we're going to go through the Bible at different times and under the law, in the age of grace, what the diet of the people was. And we could spend a long time looking at this. We're going to try to maintain it within a couple of weeks. But what we find here in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 9, we find what I'm going to call the pre-flood diet. And this is what Adam and Eve ate. Adam and Eve were vegetarians. Now, I know some people listening in, oh no, I hope he doesn't say we're supposed to be vegetarians. Well, don't turn the radio dial just yet. We're going to go further than this, but it is a fact that the first people were vegetarians. Adam and Eve ate fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, herbs. This is sometimes today referred to as the Garden of Eden diet. Now, I followed this diet strictly for about a year. It was about exactly a year, and this was about 17 years ago. Now, of course, I was a lot younger then, in my early 30s, I guess. No, my late 20s. And I became sick one year, one fall, and I had pneumonia. This landed me in the hospital. It started out as a cough in the fall, and it just kept getting couldn't get over it. Finally, I got so sick, I ended up in the hospital with pneumonia. That was in right around Thanksgiving. And then I finally got out of the hospital. I was in the hospital a week. And when I got out, I was so weak. I was so run down. I just never could regain. I just was getting along, you might say. Well, that following February, I ended up in the hospital again, a second time within just a few short months there, and very, very sick as a young man. I was in the intermediary intensive care, not in intensive care, but a step down from that, and I was so sick with pneumonia. Now, pneumonia is bad stuff, and those of you that have had it, I mean really had it, you know how bad it is to not be able to get your breath. And so the doctors became very concerned that I was so sick, I couldn't recover, I couldn't get better. It was a long winter that winter. Ended up, they sent me to a specialist, a lung specialist, to see what was going on. But I remember the second time that I was discharged from the hospital, and I asked my doctor. He came into the room to talk to me. This is back when they let your doctor go into the hospital. And the doctor came in, he talked to me, he's getting ready to discharge me. And I remember looking him in the face and I asked him this question. I said, is there anything I can do to help build up my immune system? Can I change my diet? Can I take some supplements, vitamins, minerals, herbs? Is there anything I can do. And I'll never forget, he looked me right in the eye and just said, no. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I knew better than that. And just to make a long story short, that is the last time I ever spoke to or actually laid eyes on that doctor. I quit him immediately. I thought, my goodness, surely there's something. And if the doctor doesn't know if there's something you can do, then I don't know if he knows very much about what he's talking about. I really lost confidence. But actually, that was a point in my life that changed my life. And I began to investigate, and I began to dedicate much study to what the Bible says about our health, about what we should eat and put into our bodies, and how we should take care of our bodies. God used that sickness in my life to really open my eyes to something that a lot of people may never even pay much attention to. And that's what the Bible says about our health and how important it is. And I followed this Garden of Eden diet for one solid year. I ate nothing but salads, fruits, nuts for a whole year. I had no meat in my diet whatsoever, no dairy products, no milk, no cheese, no eggs. I had no sugar. You try to go off sugar and see how hard that is. Everything we eat, just about, if you buy it at a restaurant or something, it has sugar in it. No white flour in my diet for a year, and no added salt. And for a solid year, I lived that way. Now, that was a little bit of you got to go out of your way to eat like that. And I remember I bought carrots in a 25-pound bag at the health food store, and we bought a juicer. And I would juice those carrots, and I turned a little bit orange over the course of a year. But I really believe with all of my heart that restored my health. And for years and years, in fact, I went for about 15 years before I ever went to the doctor for anything. And then it was just a checkup. And never was very sick, more than a cold that was last for a few days, I really believe. And if I was diagnosed with something today, I would go back to that for sure. But what got me so sick to begin with was a bad diet. I was living on Snickers bars and Mountain Dew and just going all the time. I wasn't resting. I wasn't getting any exercise. I was working full time. I was preaching all the time, going all the time. And so that will eventually run you down and make you sick. I don't care who you are, but I did adhere to that diet strictly for 1 year. This is the first diet that we find mankind had. It is the original diet that God gave to Adam and Eve. All they had, fruits, nuts, vegetables. You talk about organic. You talk about eating healthy. Adam and Eve ate healthy. Well, that's the first diet that we find in the Bible. And if you are interested, you can search and find all kinds of information on this on the internet. But we're just mentioning it today. Now, the second diet we find in the Bible, we're going to call the post-flood diet. This is after the worldwide flood, Genesis chapter number 9. We're talking about Noah. We're talking about his family. And we're going to go to Genesis chapter number 9, and we're going to see them, they get off the ark. And if you know anything about the Bible, what it teaches, that the whole earth was covered with a flood. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. All right, we're going to summarize what the post-flood diet was. The Lord told Noah and his family, he said, even as the green herb have I given you all things. Now, when he said even as, that was the diet they had before. But God added to that the addition of meat. And there was no restriction upon the animals, except in verse number 4, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. So God allowed them to begin to eat the flesh of animals. The exception was it had to be cooked with, it had to have the blood. No blood could be mixed in to their diet there. So just the meat. And of course, it'd have to be cooked to get the blood out of that. And so that was the only distinction or the only restriction in this new diet. Now, Noah already had a distinction between a clean animal and an unclean animal. Many people don't realize this, but you talk about the animals that went on the ark. There was two by two, but of the clean animals, they were brought in pairs of sevens. Now, Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So they knew already that there was such a thing as a clean animal and an unclean animal. Now, in Genesis chapter 9, Noah and his family get off the ark. What are you going to have to eat? Nothing. Everything has been destroyed. There's no garden. All they would have had to eat as they come off the ark would have been what they had left over. And then there were chickens, lambs, goats, calves, things like that. And those of you that know anything about planting a garden, you know, you don't just go out one day and reap the next day. It takes some time. The first thing you're going to get out of a garden is going to be some lettuce, some greens, things like that. Then you're going to get some cucumbers. Then you're going to get some tomatoes. Then you're going to get some corn. Then you're going to get some potatoes. You know, this takes time. It takes a whole spring and summer season to get a garden. These people that talk about, well, if things get bad, I'll just grow a garden. Well, what are you going to do while the garden is growing? You know, they got off the ark and there was no garden prepared for them. Things take time to grow. And so God told Noah and his family that they could eat animals, that they could eat the flesh of animals. Now, if you study in your Bible, what you'll find out, we think about sometimes the Jewish people and the being under the law and the dietary restrictions, but Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Israel, down in Egypt, all had this post-flood diet. In Genesis chapter number 18, there's a story over there. Abraham has some visitors, and this is what we might call the fast food of the Bible. And I'm not going to take time to read all of these verses, but you can look over there in Genesis chapter 18, and it's actually verses 1 through 8. But verse 1 said, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And it goes on down, and he invited these men. It was the Lord, and there's a lot of significance to this. But anyway, he invited these men to come into his tent and to refresh themselves. And verse 6 said, and Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. That's Abraham's fast food. He had bread. What did they have in those days? They had bread made out of fine flour. They had meat. A young calf is what they went into the flock, and they got it and dressed it quickly. So they had bread. They had meat. They had butter. They had milk. Boy, that's a pretty good meal right there. And so we find they ate these things in the Bible. Now, later on, God gave the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, some dietary restrictions. And today, when you hear about something being kosher, that word kosher, it means that it is fit or allowed to be eaten according to Jewish dietary or ceremonial laws. So you can go to the store, not all stores, but you can find stores that have kosher products, meat and packaged products. These are foods that are prepared according to Jewish dietary laws. Leviticus chapter 11 in verses 1 and 2, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, These are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth." And we're not going to go and read all this chapter through, but there are things probably that most people realize. The Jewish people do not eat pork. They do not eat shrimp. There are certain other animals that they do not eat. I think rabbit would be in that category as well. You can read in Leviticus chapter number 11. But there's an outline there, and these were to be prepared in a certain way, the way they handled their food, and the making sure there was no blood mixed in, and there was a distinction between an unclean and a clean animal made under the law. I mentioned last week, Brother Lester Roloff, and I've heard him preach many times, he would not eat pork. And he said if God told the children of Israel not to eat it, there must be a good reason. And so he would not eat pork in his diet. And I know others as well. And I cannot say that I do not. I eat quite a bit of bacon, and I like it pretty good. And so I'm going to get to that. I won't be able to get that far today, but I'll just tell you right there, the Jews were not to eat pork. The Gentiles, they could eat pork. So I'm a Gentile when it comes to that. So there's the diet under the law. And then we come over to the New Testament, the book of Acts, and we'll be able to get this in just a little bit. There's a diet under the dispensation of grace, or in the New Testament times. Now, if you want to read this later, it's very interesting. Acts chapter number 10, and Peter has a vision. Now, the Lord, there's twofold purpose for this. The Lord was trying to show Peter and the other early Christians, you have to realize these early Christians were Jews, and the Lord was trying to get them to see that the gospel was not just for the Jewish people, but the message of the gospel, salvation by and through the Lord Jesus Christ, was for Jew and Gentile alike. And so this vision that Peter had, it was to show him that the gospel was for Jew and Gentile, but it was also to show the Jew that he was no longer under the dietary laws or under the Old Testament law. Acts chapter 10, Peter's a Christian, Peter is a Jew. Acts chapter 10, verse 10, and Peter went up into a man's house to pray. And verse 10 said he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as if it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, my Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. And so God is trying to get Peter to see that he's no longer under those dietary restrictions, and also that the gospel was for the Gentile, because they believed the Gentile people were unclean as well. Now you go on over into the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 has a lot to say about what to eat and what is proper to eat and to put into our bodies. a good verse is chapter 10, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Now, that's a verse you can live by. Whether ye eat or whether ye drink, do all to the glory of God. Now, the context of this chapter is talking about the Christians buying meat in the marketplace that had actually been offered unto idols, and then they took it down and sold it in the market, whether a Christian should eat meat like that or not. And verse 25 said, "Whatsoever sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake." Paul said, it's all right to eat that. An idol is nothing. Verse number 28 said, "But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Now, if it would hurt somebody's faith to eat something like that, Paul said, don't eat it. But the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And so he's telling them that this is not to be banned from your diet. But that verse number 31, what a great verse that is. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." And once again, he's also teaching a lesson about the gospel going into all the world. Now, if we said the only thing you should eat would be the Garden of Eden diet, that'd be hard to eat if you lived in Alaska where there's snow on the ground. You can't grow a garden, and greens are hard to come by. The gospel is for all the world. Or to say to somebody, well, you can only have a kosher diet. Well, that'd be hard as well to come by. You'd be restricted to where you could live. But with the gospel, there's no limitations. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So wherever you go, you're going to have to eat what is there. And when you find yourself in a strange situation, whatsoever you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. These Bible principles will apply in all areas of our life. We find according to the Bible that yes, you can eat anything you want, any amount you want, any time that you want, but that does not mean that it is good for you. It does not mean, now here's the Bible wording, it is not expedient. Paul said in verse 23, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." It might not be good for me to have two Big Macs at lunch, you know, and two big drinks and all of these things. That's what Paul was saying there. They're lawful for me, but they're not expedient. Yes, you can eat whatever you want to, but is it being a good steward of the body that God has given unto you? Is it profitable? That's what that word expedient means. Is it profitable? Will it promote or advance? And I'm going to read once again chapter 10, verse 31. This is a verse that can apply to so many areas of our life that if we would take this Bible principle and live by it, we would find its benefit. It would benefit us in many, many ways. He said again, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." And so we found here, and our time is quickly coming to an end, but we found in our study today the pre-flood diet, the post-flood diet. We talked about the diet under the law, and then we talked about the law being done away with in Christ in the New Testament. And so those restrictions do not apply, but the principles always apply. Well, it's been good to be here. And we enjoy this subject so much. And like we said to begin with, you are what you eat. And that applies physically and spiritually as well. Now, next week, and I'll give you just a little homework, something to think about, Jeremiah chapter number 52, there's another diet in the Bible. And this is what we're going to call the Babylonian diet. And we're going to talk about that as well. Well, thank you for listening. This has been the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. It is brought to you by the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. We hope you have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.